Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. What a blessing it is to serve our wondrous Lord. I feel sorry for a world that doesn't know what Christmas is all about. It must be a mystery to them. Why do we decide that we're going to give gifts? Why is it that we're going to be joyful? I think for many, they wonder. I was the other day walking through a store, and of course they had music of the season on, but not one song of really what it's all about. And how sad it is that we have tried to secularize Christmas. The incarnation. It means the embodiment or the revelation or the unveiling. If you look up the word incarnation in Webster's dictionary, you will find this thought: the union of divinity with humanity in Jesus Christ. One has called it the birth supreme midst things ajar. Another, the light of the world was born in the night. Naturally and spiritually, the world at his coming was wrapped in sullen, helpless darkness. And yet another writes, the cold, chilly mists of form and ceremony are now to melt away before the warmth and brightness of his rising. Shall we stand together as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 2? Verses 1 through 8, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 down through verse 8. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. It's interesting, verses 1 through 5 have the thought of taxation, which is interesting considering what they call our future with this financial cliff. I was talking with Jeff yesterday. To be quite honest, folks, we just need a flat tax and then tell our government to live within it. What is so hard about that? But see, when you're spending other people's money, it's a whole lot easier to spend it, right? But that's another story. Verse 6. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Your Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus, because you loved the world, you gave us an opportunity to have eternal life. And we pray, Lord, that each and every one in this room today knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Lord, again, we pray for the comfort and the peace of mind of those in Connecticut that have lost loved ones at this time of year, especially for the parents, Lord, who must endure the loss of a 6 or a 7-year-old child. We pray, Lord, now that you would be with us right now, because, Lord, we know there are those even in this room that have burdens upon their heart. They're grieving. Maybe there's bewilderment, uncertainty. But, Lord, let them know assuredly of your love and your concern. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. As time permits, we'd like to look at 7 single word thoughts. Now, sometimes I'd like to let you know that so that you know where I am in my sermon, so that you don't get antsy as to how much longer this is going to be. But there are seven words that we're going to look at. The first one is preparation. Preparation. If you're going to do some painting, and we've got some professional painters in our midst today, and if you're going to paint, preparation sometimes takes longer than the painting. To cut in around the edges. But preparation is so important. If you're going to plant a garden, and I know that it's hard to think of planting a garden in December when some of the coldest days of the year have just happened. And boy, wasn't the wind howling the other day. But you're going to prepare the soil. And my wife likes it to plant things, and she's always telling me, oh, you got to dig deeper. And you got to bring in better dirt. And I'm thinking the dirt was fine last year. What's wrong with it this year? But you prepare the soil. If you're going to have a shower, be it a bridal shower or a baby shower, there is preparation. If you're going to have a wedding, and you know, weddings are so very nice, and we have preparation. Well, may I say this, that the Lord had preparation. He had announced that it was going to happen, and at the fullness of time, Jesus came forth, born of a virgin. God had foretold through the mouth of the prophet Micah that Christ, the King of Israel, was to be born in Bethlehem. At the right time, and I believe it was probably in the month of September, a decree was made that you have to go to your city so that we can have a census and that we then can tax you. May I say this, all this worked so that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Our circumstances are in the hand of God as well as our soul. We sometimes wonder why things happen the way they are. Before you get too bent out of shape, remember that we are in the hands of the Lord. So we have preparation. We go to word two, the arrival. Oh, children are excited about the arrival of Christmas. Boy, they're getting excited, especially if you've already wrapped gifts and put them under the tree. They're getting excited. We find that there was the arrival. Jesus was born and laid in a manger. Probably not in some dirty, unkept cattle stall, but at the Tower of the Flock, which was ceremonially clean in keeping with the sheep that were used for temple sacrifices, and it was outside of Bethlehem. But there was the arrival, but there was no room for this pregnant woman. You know, it's interesting that today we have time for shopping. I would dare say if you went to the stores in the area, they're full. We have time for sports. Oh, aren't you glad the Lions only have one more week? You that are a Lion fan, your season is almost over. Praise the Lord. And the Tigers are going to be going to training camp real soon. So we can be excited about that. But we have time for shopping and time for sports, and we have time for texting. Boy, did I tell you what, I was the other day at a place and there were three people and they were all waiting for something and they all had their cell phones out and they all were texting. But we have time for texting. We have time for the internet and television. We have time for making money. Do we have time for our Lord and Savior? May I say this, when it's all said and done, when we are in the coffin, all that will matter is what we've done for God. All that will matter is what we've done for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The others are part of life, but we had better have time and room for Christ. We better have time for our Lord and Savior. But there was no room. Let's begin reading at verse 8. We have the proclamation. The proclaiming. Beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in their field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall find, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The proclamation. It was divinely fitting that Christ the Lord should be heralded by the angel of the Lord. There are special times to work, and that was a special time to be a shepherd as the angel appeared unto them. Good tidings of great joy. Tidings. Tidings are information or news. Today, something can happen in Connecticut, and within minutes, it can be around the world. It's amazing how fast things can happen and how fast that news can get around the world. But these are tidings of joy. Sometimes we hear of tidings of bad things or sad things or disappointing things. This is something that is something to make you glad. What will bring you joy this coming Tuesday? I hope you take time with your family to read the Christmas story. I hope you'll take time to realize that gladness comes with our Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Because of Christ's surrender to the will of the Father, we can have salvation. And that's a priceless gift. That is the greatest gift that can be given. And we should be thankful for it. Proclamation. I remember a number of years ago, and it's getting to be more than I would really want to think about, but some 40 years ago, I gave Donna a ring. And for the next 3 or 4 days, she walked around like this. Did you happen to see? What was she doing? She was proclaiming. We have all proclaimed. Have you ever asked somebody what's new and they take out a photo album and show you? Here are my grandchildren. They proclaim. The child. We find that we have proclamation. And we have accompaniment. Accompaniment. We find in verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. There are those who are the solo specialists, and there are those who are the backup. This past Tuesday, we went over to Waterford Kettering High School, where Rachel and homeschoolers were putting on a holiday and Christmas pageantry, and they had different people singing songs, and they had different people playing instruments, and they started with some of those that were just beginners, ending up with those who were at the high end of the high schoolers who have the most talent because they've been practicing the longest. And when the top singers came out and they lined up across the platform, they all were there, and then one young man took about 4 steps forward. And they began to play a song, What Child Is This? And this young man began to sing. And my first thought, Brother Stephen, was we need him in our choir. My first thought was, how could a guy 17, maybe 18 at the most, have a voice like that? I was immediately envious, jealous, bitter, full of greed, green. It's hard being green. Not really, folks. I just thought, wow, has the Lord blessed him with a glorious voice. And in that song, everybody else became a backup. And then when he was done and the group was done with that particular part of the verse, a young lady stepped forward and she began to sing. And I thought, it's just not fair that someone that young should have that much ability. But may I say this, that though I may stand and be the preacher, I need to be accompanied by others. I need to have my backup. I need to have you there with me as we proclaim what the Lord has done for us. Let us go and see. Notice there in verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find." The words "ye shall find" indicate that they were to do what? That they were to go look. Ye shall find. Go look. They could have said, "We don't have time. Oh, we're busy doing something else." But praise God, they took the time. And I thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We find here that they tell us of great joy. If there was any indifference among men on earth, there was no indifference among the angels as they came to sing. I tell you what, as we were singing the different songs today as the choir, and we sang the first three songs and sat down, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait to the last song. Not because I wanted to get done, but I couldn't wait to sing that last song. And then we sang the middle section, those three songs, and my thought was, I can't wait to get to that last song. Not that I wanted to get up here and preach, but I couldn't wait for us to sing that song of joy to the world. And then joyful, joyful, as we proclaim and as we sing one with another, we remember what was done on our behalf. You know, Luke 15:7 tells us there is joy in heaven over one sinner repenting and believing in the Savior. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, we hope that you will take this opportunity to do so, for you will in so doing receive the greatest gift you can receive while on earth, and that of salvation. Number five, the inquiry. And you're thinking to yourself, already he's on five. That's great. He only has two more after this. Inquiry, verses 15 and 16. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Let us go and see. The shepherds believed and acted, and they found the Lord wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. As I said, I don't believe in a dirty cattle stall, but in a ceremonially clean place where the sacrificial lambs were born. But they came, making inquiry. Have you ever made inquiry? My wife, she loves her phone. Now, I realize that she doesn't love her phone like she loves me. Okay, she loves me more than the phone. But she loves the dogs. I don't know that she loves me more than the dogs. I don't know that that can be said. But may I say this? As we love our Lord, are we willing to find out more about Him? Do we love Him so much that we want to read His Word? Do you love it when we put Scripture in the bulletin? Or do you skip over the scriptures to go on to the next article. Do you love your Lord? And if so, are you willing to be a testimony? Which is number 6. To be a testimony. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spread the good tidings of great joy of the child. The Apostle Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, many would say since Paul has left the scene that others have become chief. But may I say this, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ, as Dr. Mark said, loves the sinner. He hates our sin, but he loves the sinner. May I say this? Christ loves you. Now you say, well, if he loves me, then why do bad things happen to me? Because there's sin in the world. And the result of sin are bad things. But there's a blessed day coming, folks. We that know the Lord as Savior will go to be with the Lord in heaven, where there will not be sin. There will not be the power of sin, the presence of sin, or the penalty of sin. And what a glorious thing that will be. Are you ready for number 7? Rejoicing. Do you like to rejoice? Well, what will cause you to rejoice this coming Tuesday? Well, what will cause you to rejoice? Now, some will say, wow, the family came, the family ate, the family left. Praise God. Rejoicing. We may well question whether we have ever found the Lord if we have no joy in speaking of him. If we don't want to speak of the Lord, have we ever had truly his joy in our lives? Out of a heart full of his blessings, we should want to glorify and praise his holy name. See, the shepherds heard, they believed, they obeyed, they received, they testified, they rejoiced, and they praised the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen that was told unto them." They went away rejoicing. I hope that when you leave today, you don't rejoice that, wow, that's over. But you rejoice for what our Lord and Savior has done. F.H. Raleigh wrote the song, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story." And no, I'm not going to sing to you, but I'm going to quote to you the words. "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone, and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea." Shall we stand together? Do you know this Lord who has done so much? Have you accepted him as your Savior? And if not, we give you the opportunity to do so today, as we will have a song of invitation, and you can come to the altar, and you can pray, and we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do to know Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you've become so busy, you just haven't had time for the Lord. Maybe you'd just like to come and say, "Lord, I want to have more time for you," and you'd like to come and pray. Maybe there's just something in your heart you want to pray about today. The altar's here. We'll give you that opportunity. We'll be singing the song 382, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, 382. And dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask that the Holy Spirit would move and prick hearts. Lord, that people who need you would know of their need, Lord, and be willing to give themselves to you. And for those, Lord, who have issues in their lives that they need to come and pray about, Lord, may they be willing to do so unashamedly. And we ask, Lord, that victory could be had this day at this altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.